The question was asked, what is the days of Mashiach, Olam Haba, the world to come? What are these concepts? Are they overlapping? So the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam rules this Gemara, Ein ben Olam Hazeh v'imot HaMashiach ela shibud malchuyot bilvad. The Talmud says the only difference between this world and the days of the Messiah is the question of whether we are subservient to the nations alone. So the days of the Mashiach are a period where people will eat and drink and have normal lives. The only difference will be that we will have our own sovereignty without any worry of what the nations would say. We're going to be our own liberated people. So that's step one. According to Rambam, and that's based on a Gemara, the days of the Messiah is a time period on planet Earth. It's an era. So why is it such an important era? So the Rambam writes, pious people wanted to be around in the days of the Mashiach because it's easier to do mitzvot. It's much easier to do the commandments when I don't have to worry about a pogrom, when I don't have to worry about what the nations are going to say and think and their persecution. And we're not far from that era in many ways, at least those of us who have the good fortune of living in Israel now. We are experiencing a golden era, and we hope that this will evolve into something that is permanent. But Jewish people throughout their history had golden eras. They had golden eras in the United States. They had golden eras in Germany. They had golden eras in Spain. So the Jewish people are a people that go through phases. And until the last century, we would know that things were a question of cycles. And that's why Jews were very misled when Hitler came to power, because Jews always lived with the perspective it's part of a cycle. It will pass. Khmelnytsky passed. The riots pass and we keep going. And that's why the Jews mistakenly thought that Hitler would also pass. And they didn't realize that he would take with him 6 million. So we've always lived with this perspective, always. We've, since the destruction of the first temple, we've lived with this perspective that things go in cycles, there are ups, there are downs. And those who spoke differently were the messianic ones, the false messiahs, who said, no, there's a great era that will be never ending. A positive era is about to break out for the Jewish people. That was the Shabtai Tzvi. That was the people who played on the fears and hopes of the Jewish people in order to lead them astray, in order to take advantage of them. Now we're in an era where we all hope that this is really the beginning of an era that will only get better. No one knows. We all hope. Even Rav Kook Zatzal, when he spoke about the greatness of the renaissance of the Jewish people in Israel, wrote about the fact that this can all self-destruct. Rav Kook also wrote about that we don't know where we're headed. It's up to us if we make this, if we make the state a state that adheres to the way of the Torah, if we grow in our understanding and observance of Torah, and we can achieve that the values of the Torah are what lead the state, so then the state will thrive. But Rav Kook warns that if it is the non-Jewish values that will lead the state, then those values will cause the state to self-destruct. It will destroy itself. It will be its own worst enemy. Rav Kook himself writes that. He says the state will become an insatiable monster. That's his words in Hebrew. Mifletzet, he says, the state of the Jewish people will become a monster. And it will consume itself. It will be its own destruction. Now, this is one of those things from Rav Kook that people just don't quote. People like quoting the love your neighbor Rav Kook. The Rav Kook we spoke about in the previous class, pious people look for what's right. They don't look to condemn that which is wrong, but rather promote that which is right. Rav Kook also said this. So coming back to here, this era brings with it the hope that we're headed to a place that will not only be an era, but a change forever in the state of the Jewish people. We hope so. We hope so. Rav Yisrael Meir of the city of Radin, otherwise known as the Chafetz Chaim, also hoped so. It said that when he heard of the Balfour Declaration, he wore Shabbos clothing. He said it's a tremendous thing for the Jewish people. We're moving forward in the right direction. We hope so. But now, what is the Messianic era? So we said, firstly, it means the Jewish people will have true liberty and the ability to serve Hashem freely. But we cannot ignore the other part of Rambam, where Rambam describes who will the Mashiach be. There are halachot about that too. The Mashiach has to be very learned in Torah. The Mashiach is going to bring back prophecy and rebuild the temple. And that's why when people say, so-and-so is the Mashiach, so it's a little bit silly, because there are halachot about what Mashiach has to do. So for people to say, and I got a phone call this week, a man says to me, my kids came home and told me the Rebbe of Chabad is the Mashiach. I said to them, the Rebbe of Chabad is dead. They said, how do you know? I said, I was alive when he died. I know he died. So he said, I think I convinced my kids. And I didn't want to argue with him, but I was a little bit disappointed, because it's not only a question of whether he's alive or dead. There are halachot of what a Mashiach has to do. You want to be Mashiach, so Rambam writes, you have to be king. You have to rebuild the temple. You accomplish certain things, then the Rambam says, we're willing to assume you're Mashiach till proven otherwise. Even then, you're not necessarily the Mashiach. You, after you've accomplished that, we won't talk about world peace that a person has to bring. I don't know, I noticed there are a lot of people being murdered this year. A lot. And in mass, and the mass torture that's been going on internationally. I don't know if the world in the last half a century ever suffered as much as it did in the last 4 years. I'm serious. The amount...
Half a century,
I said. In this past half a century, I think these last 4 years were probably certainly high up there in the numbers in terms of cruelty of how many people have suffered. I don't know my history well enough, so I'm not confident about that. But that's at least the impression. Coming back to here, so we have rules, and the Mashiach needs to do a lot of things, like rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So it's not just the world will continue, but the Jews will have their liberty. The world will continue, the Jews will have their liberty. Life will go on, but there will be a temple. We will be at a different place. We will be back to where we were in the first temple period. There will be prophecy again. Mashiach will have prophecy. So it's not exactly the same world we know, in the sense that we're going back to the first temple period in many ways.
There's going to be a doubt if Mashiach or not.
I don't know who said that. I don't know why anyone would say that.
Last word.
This isn't there, Mr. Basic. There's a word in English that's called pause. I didn't address your first two questions. You're bringing in a third. Let's wait. Okay. So you want us to deal with Gog and Magog. So I am not aware of Rambam discussing Gog and Magog. I don't remember right now in Rambam that he discusses the war of Gog and Magog. It's discussed in the verses, it's discussed by other commentaries, Midrashim, Rashi, and there we learn that Mashiach will lead us to this great victory in a tremendous war of Gog and Magog. That the nations will ascend upon Israel, and they will think they are victorious, and then Mashiach will surprise them. But first they will seem to attain a victory, to the point where they will recapture Jerusalem. And here we have two versions as to how it will play itself out, whether it means that then they'll have a great surprise at Jerusalem, which is what the verses seem to indicate. The Midrashim say that it will play itself out differently, that first we will actually be exiled back into the desert. And when we are in the desert, lost, we will again have man, we will again have a special assistance from above, and the Mashiach who leads us out to the desert will disappear for 40 days, just as Moshe went up the mountain for 40 days, and then he'll come back and lead us to victory against the nations. So we have two versions, it would seem, as to how the war of Gog and Magog will play itself out, as to whether we're going to win, or first we're going to lose, and then we're going to win. So that's whatever those Midrashim mean. Whether Gog and Magog are really nations, a father and a son, or Gog and Magog, the numerical value of 70, it means all the nations will turn on us, whether it means a physical war or a spiritual war, those are all good questions. And finally, when you ask about Olam Haba, so the Rambam says Olam Haba is where the souls go, and that is a place where you do not eat and you do not drink. And even though the Talmud uses wording of eating and drinking and enjoying yourself, those are just metaphors. It's not to be taken literally. That's what the Rambam writes about Olam Haba. So here you had a quick overview of the days of Mashiach, Olam Haba, and Gog and Magog. And one day, not today, on a different day, you'll ask me what the Garden of Eden is and what happens to our souls after we die and how come there's Tchiyat HaMetim. There are three things you left out of your question if we're going to deal with it. But now that I asked, you have to answer.